بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It is a requisite of faith that we believe in the mu'jiza of the Anbiya alayhi salam, supernatural feats of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Belief in this is a part of our faith. Similarly, we believe in the karamat and the miracles of saints as well. There's four levels of supernatural feats. One level is of a person who has nothing to do with deen. In fact, he is a total irreligious person. And there are certain supernatural things that are being expressed at his hands. So this is known as istidraj. The Dajjal will be able to do many of these things. He'll be able to bring the dead to life. He'll be able to cause the water to rain. He'll be able to make the orchards flourish, and the treasures of the world will just follow him, like how you find swarms of bees, etc., following the queen. So there will be several supernatural feats that will be expressed at his hands. Yet he is the Dajjal, and he is the one that all the Anbiya alayhi salam had warned against. So it doesn't improve his lot and his fate in any way. Similar is the case of many kuffar. They perform a lot of supernatural things, but because of them performing these things, it doesn't bring them any way closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They remain still stuck in the same kufr and disbelief of theirs. In fact, they go further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat, perhaps it was Hazrat Jalaluddin Tarnesi rahmatullahi, and he heard about a Hindu fair. It was Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib rahmatullahi. They heard about a Hindu fair where thousands and thousands of people will flock together. So he asked some of his people that go and find out if there is any person that you feel has got some potential. They went up and they found one person, a Hindu priest. They felt that he is very, very potential. Perhaps if he sees the truth, he will accept that. He will accept the truth. Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had gone up to him and Sayyid Sahib did something, and some blade had come into his hand. So the Hindu did the same. He did something and the blade came into the hand. In other words, he's showing Sayyid Sahib that if you can do something supernatural, then I can do the same, then we are on par. Sayyid Sahib raised his hand again and a bowl came from the unseen. This person did the same and a bowl came from the unseen. Then Sayyid Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he slit his wrist and he allowed some of the blood to collect in that bowl. And this person did the same. Thereafter, Sayyid Sahib rahmatullahi dug a small hole and buried this blood into that hole. This person did the same. After half an hour or an hour, he dug it up again and took out, removed the blood. This person did the same. The difference was that in the blood of Sayyid Sahib rahmatullahi, there was the musk, the fragrance of musk, beautiful fragrance. And in his blood, there were already worms, there were already ants, and there was a heavy stench that was coming out. So Sayyid Sahib rahmatullahi explained this person, you see, In this world, both of us may appear to be the same. You cannot notice any change, any difference between me and you. But in the next world, this is your fate, this is your future, and this is my future. You will be the prey of worms and snakes and scorpions, and here I will be blessed in this manner that you see. My blood, now you see the fragrance of musk and saffron, beautiful fragrance, everybody wants to smell it and enjoy from that. Then he went on to explain that the method that I have adopted, that has been ordained, that has been endorsed by the divine seal, the method, the path that I have adopted, it's been endorsed by the divine seal. When it's endorsed by the divine seal, so if it goes into the next realm, it will be readily accepted. But the method that you have adopted, it may work here, but it's got no divine endorsement. When it doesn't have the divine endorsement, you want to take this and go, then you'll be charged for counterfeit. You'll be rejected and you'll be charged. You'll be considered as an infidel, you'll be considered as a person that is bringing in counterfeit. So it's a serious crime, fraud you'll be charged for. So this Hindu was impressed, and there and then he accepted Islam. So this is the first level of feats that are supernatural. They can be performed by a person that is in Islam and a non-Muslim as well. So if the non-Muslim does it, it's got nothing to do with deen, this is called istidraj, called magic, right? Then if it is a Muslim, he's an ordinary, simple Muslim, and something is performed at his hand, though he may not be a wali or a great pious person, but he is a simple practicing Muslim, and something supernatural happens at his hands, then this you will call mu'unat, a divine assistance. The Sahaba Ikram were in need of food. They were in an enemy land. They had captured the land already. So when you capture the land, then everything belongs to you. They needed food. They passed by a barn, and they asked a person that was walking past, is there any animals there that we can eat? Now we have captured the land, so it belongs to us. So is there anything that we can eat there? So he spoke a lie, says, no, there's nothing here. The cow from within the barn, that thing spoke out, says, كَذَبَ عَدُوُ اللَّهِ نَحْنُ هَا هُنَا مَوْجُودٌ. So that this enemy of Allah Ta'ala has spoken a lie, we are here, come pull us out and you may slaughter us and eat us. Okay? So now this is called mu'unat, this is a divine assistance that is granted to a Muslim that is practicing. Then you get the third type of a miracle or a supernatural feat that comes before a Nabi, before the advent of a Nabi, just around the time the Nabi is going to appear, around that time something supernatural takes place. Now this is called irhas. Irhas actually means to set a foundation. So this type of a miracle is really going to set the foundation of the Nabi that is going to appear very shortly. Now this was the foundation, this was the miracle that was performed just around Rasulullah's birth, the incident of the elephants we hear very well. So this was just coinciding with the birth of Rasulullah, showing to the rest of the Arabs that there is going to be something extremely great that's going to take place, and now you become ready, and this is to pave the way for your acceptance of this religion that's going to come about. So this is known as irhas, where before the advent of a Nabi, some supernatural feat takes place. Then, in the fourth level, you get a miracle that is performed at the hands of a wali, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is dedicated to the sunnah, who is drowned in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and something supernatural takes place at his hands. So this is known as karamat, this is known as a miracle, right? Karama actually means an honor. So this person that has performed this, he's been honored. This person on whose hands the supernatural feat has been performed, he's been honored by who? He's honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him adhering to the sunnah. Because he adhered to the sunnah, so he was honored in this way, that this karamat or this supernatural feat had been expressed at his hands. So this type of supernatural feats were abundant in every zamana, in every age, every time you find at the hands of awliya, great, great people, these supernatural feats do take place. Right? Hadi Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, he was being hunted down by the English because they had declared that the English is not supposed to be here, they need to be turned out from this country. Because of the oppression that they had done, approximately 70,000 ulama ikram they had killed, and their bodies were all suspended on trees, and nobody was allowed to remove those bodies, nobody was allowed to remove them and bury them. Any person walking past, you are seeing those bodies hanging on trees, and they must just rot there, they must just decay. So the zulm and the operation that they did was terrible. Hari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi and his Jamaat had waged war against the English. So they were hunting him down, and when they were hunting him down, he thought the best thing for me now is to move on to Makkah Mukarrama and migrate there. His people were also safe, people that had fought with him. None of them were arrested. If they were arrested, they were arrested for a short period and they were released after that. Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was arrested for a short period. He wanted and he insisted that he wants to accompany Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. But Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi impressed upon him that Allah Ta'ala ko tumse bohut se kaam lena hai. Allah Ta'ala wants to take out a lot of work out of you, so you should remain here and Allah Ta'ala will guard you, He will take care of you. So he wasn't very comfortable. He says, how can I stay here when my Shaykh is moving on? So explained to him that, don't worry, I'm with you, my du'as are with you, and nobody will be able to hurt you. You will go through a little bit of difficulty, but inshallah, victory will be on your side. So while Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah was imprisoned for a short period, but that imprisonment of his turned out to be to his success. That the inmates of the prison, those that were sinful and wrong, that all turned towards Islam, turned towards righteousness and virtue. And Mawlana also had dedicated his time in teaching them, correcting them, bring them onto the right. To the extent that Mawlana taught one person the Quran Sharif, and just when his Quran Sharif was about to be completed, he had a few siparas to be completing, just around that time, the announcement was made that Mawlana is free and he will be released now in a day or 2 days. So this person that was with Mawlana and Mawlana was teaching him, he began to cry that now you're going to go all away and I need my Quran Sharif to be complete. So Mawlana says, don't worry, I will remain a month or 2 months more with you. I will ensure that the Quran Sharif is completed, then will I leave. Okay. So that whole prison became like a khanqah, it became like a madrasa. They summoned Mawlana. Look at these people. Impeccable behavior, truth, honesty. So when they interrogated Mawlana, they said, "Tum log, tum fasadi ho. You people are causing chaos. You people are causing corruption, chaos." What they were referring to is Mawlana making jihad. So Mawlana can't speak a lie, and he has to give an answer that will bail him out. So he says, "Hamare bab dada bhi fasadi nahi the." That even our forefathers also, they weren't corrupt people. He didn't say we didn't engage in jihad. All he said, "Hamare bab dada bhi fasadi nahi the." So there's no lie involved, right? And there is no refusal and no denial that I didn't participate. But by the same token, he says, my fathers, my grandfather also, They were not corrupt people. They were not people out of, after corruption, etc. Then he says that we hear that you people have weapons also. You have stocked up and piled up weapons. So Mu'adh pulled out his tasbih and said, this is our weapon. He didn't say we don't have weapon, but he says this is our weapon. Anyway, the English saw he's not getting any joy out of him, and he felt that this person is the right person, there's nothing wrong in him. Anyway, the third question he asked is, then what's your work? So just then one of the court attendants doing some menial work, he passed by and he thought, let me at least ungli kata karke shahidon mein naam ko likhwa dun. I will do a little bit of service to Mulana. Perhaps Allah Ta'ala will forgive me for that. So he exclaimed, Mulana, aren't you the mojin by my masjid? You know, now people that peasant and villagers, they can't say muazzin. So he says, aren't you the mojin? You give the azan there. Now the English fellow, he's an ordinary person giving azan there. Where is he going to do such things? Normally the person that is giving azan, then he's a simpleton. He can't be embarking upon such great things. Aren't you the mojin in my masjid? Alhamdulillah, he was released. So Hadi Sahib had insisted that you must remain here, and Hadi Sahib had departed to Makkah Mukarramah. En route, he stopped over at the home of Mulana Abdul Rahim Raipuri Rahmatullah's father. Mulana Abdul Rahim Raipuri Rahmatullah's father was a wealthy person, and he had taluk with Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah. And he risked his life, but he kept him. There was a warrant of arrest against Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah. But he said, no, come what may, we'll see whatever happens later on. But we are going to give him the sanctuary, we're going to give him the protection. Okay? In the meanwhile, Hadi Sahib was given the protection, and this English that was in this town, he was informed that Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi is taking protection, is taking some cover in this person's farm. So now, this person is also a notable person of the town, great person, notable person of the town. So the English officer has to come and make an investigation, but under what pretext must he come and make an investigation? So the English officer says, I've heard you've got some beautiful horses. I thought I just want to inspect them. Maybe I would be interested in buying some. Now, it's an English officer. You can't refuse him. He's in charge of the entire town. Right? He can't refuse him, but by the same token, Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah is concealed in one of those stables. Now, how do you make it out? How do you work it out? So, yes, I do have those horses. And within his heart, he says, I rather die than Hazrat dying here. I rather be put into prison, and he's kept on making dua from within his heart. Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah is concealed in one of those stables. So he's opening one stable after the other. First one, second one, third one. Now the stable that Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah was in, the English officer noticed there was a musalla there, and there was a jug of water for making wuzu. That jug of water had just spilled over, and there's nothing left here. So the English officer asked, but this is strange. Is this a stable or is this a place to perform namaz? So this person says, the person that is keeping Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah says, yes. English officer asks, is this a stable or is this a place for paying namaz? And isn't the masjid meant for you praying namazes? Isn't the masjid meant for you praying salah? So the farm owner says, Muslim that is keeping Hadi Sahib, he says, yes. The masjid is meant for faraz namaz, or obligatory namazes. The masjid is meant for that. But our nafil and optional namazes, you must do it in the most concealed of places. You must do the nafil namazes in the most concealed place. Anyway, the English found no joy in this. And he says, I'm sorry that I troubled you at this part of the day, and I didn't get the horse of my choice. He had meanwhile inspected all the stables, everything was clear. And the farm owner, in the meanwhile, he breathed with relief. English is gone. Now he goes to go and inspect the same stable where Hari Sahib Rahmatullah is. And Hari Sahib is comfortably performing namaz there. Just now he was gone, no sign of him, and now he's there already. So this is the type of miracles, karamat, that Allah Ta'ala allows to appear at the hands of awliya ikram. Now these are numerous in Nizamuddin awliya in 47, when the partition had taken place. So for some reason they wanted to exterminate the Muslims. Indian army, and they were fighting against these people there in Nizamuddin. Those people that were present at the time, they saw the Indian army, they saw that the Indian army was gripped with fear and they're running backwards. Later on they discovered that when we came in that direction, we saw men as huge as the earth, you know. If they are standing here, then their heads are in the sky. They are so tall. And with tall people and with swords, they had come out. So we couldn't tolerate the sight. We had to just turn away and run away for our lives. So these are the karamat, these are the miracles that Allah Ta'ala blesses to those people that adhere to the sunnah. You adhere to the sunnah and you adhere to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're committed to this. Then at some point or the other, Allah Ta'ala will grant you these type of supernatural feats. So this is known as karamat. And believing in this karamat is part of our faith, because the Quran Sharif also records certain supernatural feats. Like Maryam alayhi salam, Zakaria alayhi salam used to enter and he would find unseasonal fruit by her. He would ask, Anna laki hadha, where does this come to you from? So he says, Haza min indillah, this is coming to me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas a woman is not a Nabi. When a woman is not a Nabi and something supernatural is taking place at her hands, obviously it will be called a karamat, right? So this is the fourth level. And then the fifth level is the level of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, the selected servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have been commissioned with nubuwwat. So obviously we do believe in that, but that is known as mu'jiza. So these are all supernatural feats, and we don't have to believe in anyone and everyone. Yes, Anbiya alayhi salam, we believe in them. And then those that follow and adhere strongly, they are committed to the way of the Anbiya alayhi salam, absolutely, 24/7. They are committed to the way of the Anbiya alayhi salam. They don't drift away from that. And if something happens at their hands, this is called karamat, we believe in that as well. So this had to be explained, because at times we see and we hear of people doing certain things, someone making some prediction, someone is doing something, and then we get very easily lured towards them. Someone is doing some sangoma, someone is doing whatever in some mandil, and someone is trying to cure some sick person, priest, whatever, and then we get lured towards these people. We feel that they are doing whatever they are doing is true. It may be they have done it, and they use the shayateen, etc., to do whatever they are doing, but we don't have to believe in that. What we believe in is the Anbiya alayhi salam and those that adhere to the ways of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq.